Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Got your Bible with you today? All right, let's hold it up. Let's make our confession. Sit with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. One more time. Let's thank God for His Word. Thank you, Lord, for the Word. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you see on the screen today, I want to talk to you about the legacy of faith. The legacy of faith. Now, again, this coming Christmas Eve, we'll be talking about the Christmas story, and it's all geared for that and to touch people's lives to make a difference. But we're ending this year, and we want to end strong, and we believe at Church on the Rock that we're to make a difference with our life, that all of us were created for significance. We were created to make a difference with our life, not waste our life, but invest our life and make a difference. I want to talk to you today and next Sunday about, as we go out this year, about the legacy of faith. What kind of legacy has been passed on to you? What kind of legacy are we going to pass on to the next generation? I think of my legacy that's been passed on to me. That is, you know, the people, the experiences in your life that's impacted your life. I think back on the people who's impacted my faith. That's the legacy of faith. That they made an impact on my life and on my faith. And hopefully I'm making an impact on your faith, in your life, in your family, in my family, and the next generation. So I want to talk to you about the legacy of faith. We're going to look at faith, define faith. We're going to also look at the traits of faith, because you might be sitting here and you say, Pastor, I've been coming to this church for 2 decades. I know all about faith. I wouldn't have that mindset, because I don't know all about faith yet. Me, Ma, myself. And we're always learning and we're always growing. And the Bible talks about fake faith, just like fake news. The Bible talks about fake faith. And the Bible talks about genuine faith. And I've been around for a little bit, and I've seen a lot of Christians, they think they're in faith, but they're not really in faith. And they're deceived. They're delusional. They think that, why isn't it working? And really, they don't understand the basics of what faith is really like. So in the Christian walk, we have to decide, are we going to build our life on faith or feelings? Faith or feelings. I can't base my marriage with Kim for 48 years on feelings, right? There has to be a commitment. There has to be a higher decision that's greater than feeling. There are some days I don't feel married, but Kim reminds me, I'm married. There are some days I don't feel like I'm the pastor of this church, but like this morning, I overslept. Can you believe it? I'm usually up at 5:30 on Sunday morning, and this morning Kim came in, and really she said, get up, get up, get up. It was 7:15. Yeah, I was backsliding. I was at bedside assembly this morning. Get up, get up, get up. Why? You're the pastor. Oh, praise God. She didn't say that, but she did wake me up, and she did get me up. But there's sometimes I don't feel like a pastor. There's some days, can I say this? I don't feel like a Christian. There's some days I say, God, can I just not be a Christian today? Because there's some people I want to take care of. Come on now. God, I just want to push them off the front porch and say they died accidentally. Amen. So, God, just for an hour, can I just revert back? You know what I'm saying? So we have to decide if we're going to live an overcoming life, or we're going to build our walk with God on faith or feelings. I can't live and serve for God through feelings. I have to know God and live for God through faith. Faith is a higher level than feelings. The Bible calls feelings carnality. You ever read that in the Bible? To be carnally minded is death, right? And to be spiritually minded is life. So I want to look at it, and you'll bear with me, right? We're going to build. Is that okay? Line upon line. I'm going to give you scriptures, and then you take them, you study them, you look for them. But we have to decide right now in our world, it's all about feelings. It's all about feelings. But in the Christian life, in the Christian world, in the kingdom of God, it's not all about feelings. It's all about faith, faith in God. A God that you can't see, you have to have faith in. So let's look at this, a legacy of faith. I want to leave, you know, I think of the people who've passed down a legacy of faith to me. You know, I think of those people in my life. I think of Hilton Sutton. Any of you remember Hilton Sutton? Hilton Sutton was a prophecy teacher. Hilton Sutton was Kenneth Copeland's pastor when he got born again. Hilton Sutton had such a legacy. I mean, he had impacted so many people. And I think of Hilton Sutton. He's in heaven now. I was on his board, and what a privilege, what an honor. But just to be around him, just to be have a relationship with him, he passed on a legacy of faith to me that has impacted my life forever. I think of him. I think of different people in my life that's passed on. I think of my father and my mother. You know, the Bible talks about that the faith of the grandmother, didn't Paul tell Timothy that the faith of his grandmother was passed on down to his mother, passed on down to Timothy? Pastor Kim alluded to it. What kind of legacy are we leaving for our children? What kind of legacy are we leaving for the next generation? More than anything else, it needs to be a legacy of faith. That's the most important, a legacy of faith. So let's look at it. Psalm, would you go there with me? Psalm 78, verse 3 through 8. Psalm 78. Going to read it from the New King James Version and the Living Bible. So what does the Bible have to say about a legacy of faith? We want to pass our faith on down to our children and our children's children. That's the greatest legacy that we can leave behind is our faith. Psalm 78, verse 3. Y'all ready? Which we have heard and known, and our fathers, what did our fathers do? They told us. And our fathers have told us, next verse, please, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come, telling them the praises of the Lord, telling our children about his strength, about his wonderful works that he's done in our life. Verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers Did you know that God chose Abraham to be the father of our faith? You know this? That God chose Abraham. He's the father of our faith. You do know that. Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them. And so are you, left foot, right foot. Okay, Sunday school, hallelujah. But Abraham in the Bible is the father of our faith. And do you know the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God chose him because he's going to take his kids to church? That's right. He chose him because he's going to tell his children about the covenant of God, that he would raise his children in the house of God. It's in the Bible. So notice he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded fathers, godly fathers, that they should make them known what? The law, the Bible, the word, biblical principles, the rock, that they should make them known to their children. What does the Bible say? The greatest legacy as parents we can leave to our children, our faith in God, who God is, what God said, what God's done. Who God is, what God said, that's the Bible, and what God's done. That's my testimony. That's the most important thing we can leave the next generation. which he commanded our fathers, that they, the fathers, should make them known, what? The law, the Bible, the word, to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. Know what? The word of God. The children who would be born, not born yet, that they might arise and declare them to their children. Three generations. Verse 7, that they might set their, well, this is what we want, right? Want our kids to get saved, right? Want our grandkids to be born again. We want household salvation. We want our families to be saved and go into heaven. It all goes back to the parents. It all goes back. The foundation for faith for our family is not the church. The foundation for faith for our family is the home, the family, the parents, that they might set their hope. So the whole deal of leaving a legacy of faith. See, if I can show you the importance of a legacy of faith, you know what? It'll make you stronger. That's the why of this message, the why. It'll make you stronger as a parent, and then it'll make your family stronger, and it'll give you a foundation for your future that's not built on feelings. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like raising my hands. I don't feel like tithing. I don't feel like serving. I can't satisfy God through feelings. I have to decide either faith or feelings. Faith must come first. Amen. That they might set their hope. So we're doing this so that our family has hope. Right now, they're wanting to take away our future. And God wants you to know you have a future. That they might set their hope in God, not the government, not man, not Wall Street, not circumstances, not their boss, not their education, but in God, their hope in God. That they might set their hope in God. God is the only answer, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not the libertarians, and not politicians, God forbid. But our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. Not science, not economics. We want our kids to know the only hope is in God. He's the only hope. That comes from the parent and the family and your home. It comes from a one-year Bible. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. It's the parents' responsibility to not let the kids forget. Not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Y'all praying for me because I'm countercultural today. Praise God. What's our free truck today? I want desserts. Okay, so desserts coming. Amen. You want the meat now, right? Okay, but keep His commandments. Verse 8. And may not be like their fathers. Whoa. Talking about the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, didn't make it into the promised land. So you don't want them to be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful. Did you notice all of our songs were on the faithfulness of God today? Faithful to God. If you got it, you spot it. Okay, let's read it from the Living Bible. Let's go back to verse 3. For I will show you lessons from our history. I will show you lessons from our history. Notice history, his story. Stories that have been passed down to us from former generations. I remember my parents used to tell me of my grandmother, Grandma Blunt, how when I was a little baby just born, that she would carry me in her arms around a little farm in Iowa, and she'd pray in tongues over me. Amazing. That story, you know, that story, I go back to that many, many times, that story. And I really have to believe that she was passing on a legacy to me. I vaguely remember her because when I was 6, she passed away. But yet I can remember her. And they said that when I was a baby, couldn't even walk, she would carry me around that farm outside, around the yard, praying in the spirit over me that God would use me. And I'm amazed, you know, because seriously, I believe her legacy, her life, her example of faith was passed on down to me. I believe that's why when my family wasn't even serving God in the first and second grade, if I'm lying, I'm frying, I would get up on my own. This is Mayberry, okay? This is not St. Louis. But we grew up in a town called Mayberry, like Mayberry, you know, Andy Griffith, where you can leave the doors unlocked. Anybody remember that? And I remember first and second grade, I would get up on my own. At that time, my family wasn't serving God. They were backslidden. I would go to Sunday school and church on my own. I'm in the first and second grade. I got up and I'd go to church on my own. Nobody making me. Nobody forced me. Just as a little boy. Where'd that come from? I think it came from my grandmother. Yeah. And then even as a little boy, I guess that's why I'm a pastor teacher, because seriously, if I'm lying, I'm frying. My brother who's in heaven, we had bunk beds, and by the bunk beds was a nightstand, and I had a children's Bible that I got from Sunday school. I was the only one in our house that read the Bible. I'm a little kid, and I would read my Bible every night before I go to bed. Nobody forced me. Nobody made me. Where'd that come from? Legacy. Legacy. For I will show you lessons from history, stories that have been handed down to us from former generations. Verse 4. You're to tell your kids, your children, and your children's children stories of the faithfulness of God. I will reveal these truths to you. Man, we're being told so many lies. I'm ready for the truth. How about you? God's word is truth. I reveal these truths to you so that you can describe these glorious deeds of Jehovah to your children. We're not to leave it to the children's church or the nursery or the youth ministry. Amen, somebody? It's the parents' role. We're to pass on these glorious deeds of Jehovah to your children and tell them, your kids, about the mighty miracles God's done in your life. Oh, stronger you, stronger family, stronger foundation, stronger future. Verse 5, a legacy of faith. For he gave his laws to Israel, and he commanded our fathers, he commanded the father to teach the children the word of God, called daily devotionals. Verse 6, so that they would in turn could teach their children when they grow up. Thus, his laws, the word, the Bible, is passed down from what? Generation to generation. What's the most important thing in your house? Not music. The most important thing in your house is the word of God. Didn't say pass down the latest tune. I am all about music. I've got a guitar collection. I'm all about music. I love music. You hear me bring up music I shouldn't be bringing up. Right? Steppenwolf. Born to be wild. Okay? So, but I'm to pass down to my children the word of God. The Bible. The laws of God. So that they'll be strong and their families will be strong. And the greatest thing we can leave them is a legacy of faith. Verse 7. In this way, each generation has been able to obey his laws and to set its hope not on Wall Street, economics, science, education, not on government, but put their hope on God and not forget his glorious miracles. I love the word. This talks to us, doesn't it? Verse 8. Thus they did not need to be as their fathers were. Notice you can break that generational curse off your family. Notice that your family can be different than your ancestors, than my ancestors. Come on, somebody. You can be the one. You can be the one, mom, dad. You can be the one that changes everything. Yeah. You can be the one. They did not need to be as their fathers were, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. You ever notice this before? Look at this. They were a rebellious generation, but notice this new generation could break that curse off and change everything and build a godly family, a godly home, godly children, godly foundation. Oh, you can break that curse off, but look at this. Refusing to give their hearts to God. You ever notice something? There's a word within the word hearts. This is Bible trivia. Y'all see a word in the word of hearts. What is it? Ear. Y'all got it. Ear. They didn't have time to listen. He that hath an ear, listen. They didn't have time for God. They wouldn't listen to God. Notice it all starts with my hearing. Faith starts with hearing. How does faith come? By hearing. And if I don't have time for God, for church, if I don't have time for God to listen, if I don't have time to read the word and just listen and give God an ear, then how can God change my life? I got to give him an ear. I've got to give him an open heart. Open heart through an open ear. I've got to listen. I got to stop being too busy. I got to stop being too distracted. Come on, somebody. I got to start giving God an ear, giving him a time and a place and an open in my heart. You say, God, here I am. God, here I am. I need help with my family. I need help with my future. I need help with my marriage. I need help with my walk with you, God. It's not working. I don't want that curse passed down to the next generation of pornography, alcoholism, drug addiction, lying, depression, racism, whatever it might be. I want to break that curse. I don't want to pass it on down to the next generation. Oh, praise God. Can we keep on going? That's the introduction, okay? That's not my sermon. All right, let's go, guys. The next. So what's he talking about? Passing on biblical principles. Using teaching moments, mom and dad, grandparents, using teaching moments to teach your children the Word of God. Everybody say, a teaching moment. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. They grow up fast. Number two, passing on your stories. So as a parent, one of our role is to pass on the Word and make it so they can understand it. And then we're to pass on stories of how God has helped you through life. Next. Romans 1:17. For it in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by their feelings. See, right now our culture is all about feelings, getting hurt feelings, getting wounded feelings, getting offended. It's all about me and my feelings and how I feel. You said this, they said that, this happened to me. Oh, my feelings, my feelings, my feelings. Feelings are from God, but we're to manage them. And not let them manage us. I can't hear God through my feelings. I hear God through faith. I can't please God. I can't live for God through my feelings. It has to be by faith. The just shall live by faith. Can you say that with me, church family? The just shall live by faith. And then did you see something else in this verse? I want to pull it out. There's different levels of faith. From faith to faith, different levels of faith. Now, I know you might think, well, Pastor, there's just a few people back now at church, and we're all believing everybody locally comes back, right? And they bring somebody with them, right? But I want you to know that right now, Church on the Rock runs 6,000 people. Staff, are you hearing that? Okay. Tommy, who's our IT guy, checks our giving and our attendance for 6 weeks, Steve. Every 6 weeks, 6,000 people come through here right now, okay? So we're more than a few hundred or a couple thousand. You got to get in your mind when you're ministering and loving and reaching out and helping our church community, it's 6,000 plus people who are coming here through 6 weeks. They say the new Sunday is once every 6 weeks. I don't agree with that, but that's where the culture is right now. You got it? Okay, those 6,000 people, not one of them are on the same level. Not one of us, Kim and I, are not on the same level. Because you're all individuals. Not one of us, of the 6,000 people that call this church their church home right now, that I'm ministering to right now, that you're ministering to right now, not one of them are on the same level of faith. Because we're individuals. And we go from, and my job is to help you go from one level to the next level. If I love you, I'll help you. Okay? So next verse, Galatians 3, verse 11. Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. It's either faith or feelings. If it was feelings, I wouldn't be here for 38 years. I would have quit a long time ago. If it was feelings, my relationship with God, I would not be serving God today. It has to be built on faith. The just shall live by faith. Not emotions. Emotions are good. They're from God. It's our soul. But we have to learn how to manage our emotions and not let them manage us. That's why there's so much drug addiction, overweight, suicide stuff that's going on over the last 2 years. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident for the... Let's all say it together, can we, guys? The just shall live by faith. We're talking about a legacy of faith. Next verse. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I like this, Fred Price. Y'all remember Fred? He's in heaven. But every service, he closed with this. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's say it together on three. 1, 2, 3. Well, I'm Crenshaw Christian Center right there. We walk by faith and not by, what is sight? It's your emotions. It's your feelings. We have to learn what faith is, and we then have to live by faith, and then we're to pass our faith on. Learn what it is, live by faith, and then pass it on, the legacy of faith. You with me, family? We walk by faith and not by our feelings. I can't serve God through my feelings alone, right? I have to serve God. The just shall live by faith. All right, next guys on the screen. Faith needs three things. Faith needs three things. Number one, an example. Faith needs an example. You and I, to go to the next level, always need an example. To go to the next level, you need an example. All right? So for faith needs an example. We call it the legacy of faith. The best motivation for your kids to go to church is you go to church. The best motivation for your kids to serve God is you serve God. Right? The best, you know, we don't ask our kids, you all want to go to school tomorrow? Richard, last weekend must have really, you know, really a strong anointing came off on us, right, from Richard last weekend, amen? Yeah. Think about it. Billy, you want to go to school Monday? You don't ask your kids you want to go to school. So we shouldn't ask our kids if they want to go to church. I'm trying to save homes today. They need a godly example. You don't drop them off and then go have coffee. Number two, I feel bad to the bone today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Number two is environment. Environment. You know, that example, again, I think of people in my life. I think of a Hilton Sutton. I think of a Roy Hicks. I think, you know, of a Tommy Barnett today. I think of these different people in my life down through the years. That I think of a Mark Buntaine, a missionary to India, Calcutta. Kim and I just got to be around him once, and it changed our life forever. I think about those people, their legacy, their faith. The faith is contagious. Yeah. I just think about it, it just jumped off, that faith. Wow. Number two, faith needs not only an example, but it needs an environment. Yeah. Faith has to have the right environment to grow. Faith has to have the right environment to grow. You've heard me say this. Sometimes it's not getting more faith. It's getting less doubt. Sometimes I just, you know, I keep trying to get stronger faith, and then I watch the news every day. And that creates doubt. So what I've got, more doubt coming in my life than the Word. So doubt is greater than my faith. Does that make sense with everybody? And we're not anti-news. I mean, you know, we need to know what's going on so we can pray, right? But we don't want to feed on it every day. We want to feed on the one-year Bible with Pastor. Another commercial. Amen. Let's join the journey together. So faith needs example. Faith needs environment. And number three, faith needs an everyday process to grow. Faith needs an example. Faith needs an environment, the right environment. And number three, faith needs an everyday process. It's called daily habits. Next, guys, under that everyday process is habits. And what are they supposed to do for me? Right now, we're taking the staff through Atomic Habits, James Clear. We did that a couple years ago. We're redoing it. Habits are everything. Habits build character. If I have godly habits, I'll have a godly character. So if I want to change my character, I change my habits. If I want to change my character, I change my habits. So that daily process is, faith needs an everyday process. It's called spiritual healthy habits. But habits, I have to have the right habits to build a right character. Next, guys, habits to build my faith. A daily process. Habits every day. I focus on the process. It's building my character, because faith won't work with a raunchy character. Right? Where's that at, Pastor? Well, I think the Bible says, if my conscience isn't clear, faith won't work. If my conscience isn't clear, faith won't work. If my conscience isn't clear, I can pray all day. Nothing's going to happen. So I have to work on my character. That is, if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. If I give my word, even if it hurts us, Proverbs says, keep your word. All right? Habits then to build my faith. It takes habits to build your faith. It's not automatic. And number three, habits to build your life dream. That daily process that builds your character, builds your faith, and builds your future. Builds your character, builds your faith, builds your future. Daily habits, everyday process. Faith needs, I forgot, number one, example. Faith needs, number two, environment. And faith needs every day a daily process. Amen, somebody? All right, next, let's go on. Am I helping anybody today? Okay, this is really going to bless you, I believe, right here. Faith looks like, what's faith look like, Pastor? You talked about fake faith, and you talked about genuine faith. What's faith look like? We can't live by our feelings. Now, we've got them. They're good, and thank God for them, because we're in trouble if we don't have feelings. But we're to manage them and them not manage us. So what does faith look like? I want to know, preacher. I came yesterday to the Hope Outreach, and I came here today looking for hope, and you talk about I need faith in God. How do I know if I have faith in God or not? What is a trait of faith in God? What does faith look like? I'm glad you asked those questions. Number one, faith is believing when you don't see it. Faith is believing when you don't see it. One more time. Faith is believing when you don't see it. Scripture for that is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things you're hoping for and the evidence of things you can't see. Faith believes even though you can't see it. Y'all with me, family? Faith, I'll believe it when I see it. That's not faith. Faith believes when you don't see it. All right, number two, a second trait of what faith looks like is faith is obeying when you don't understand it. Daniel talked about this in his exhortation moment in worship. Faith is obeying when you don't understand it. A trait of faith, number one, real faith is, what was it, faith believes when you don't see it. I believe this building is going to be full again, curtain down. I believe your family is going to come to Christ. I believe we're going to win our city, our portion. I believe that God's dream for you is going to come to pass. I believe that what you're going through, you're going to get through and get on the other side and be better. I believe it. Do I see it? No, but I believe it. By the eye of faith, I see it. But faith is obeying when you don't understand it. We do not understand what we've gone through the last 2 years. I mean, we don't understand it. But faith obeys even when you can't explain it. We live by principles, not explanations. We live by principles, not explanations. I hope I'm helping you today. Okay, so faith is obeying. And see, we're all to help each other with faith. This is the journey we walk together. Amen, everybody? All right. Faith is obeying when you don't understand it. Scripture for that? Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. God called him, God sent him, and he didn't know where, and he didn't understand why. Faith obeys even when you don't understand what's happening to you at that moment. Next, guys. Number three, as Isaiah comes out, faith is keeping on when you feel like giving up. This is faith, real faith. Faith is keeping on, a legacy of faith. See, these are the mindsets we want to pass on to our children. Faith, the legacy of faith. Faith is keeping on when you feel like giving up. Faith believes when you don't see it. Faith obeys when you don't understand why it's happening. Faith is keeping on when you feel like giving up. Scripture for that, Hebrews 11:27. Moses, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured what kept him from giving up. He endured as seeing him, God, who is invisible. You remember my prayer time? I prayed that next year you go through the journey with the one-year Bible and God would give us a new revelation of him. Notice that Moses had a revelation of God, the invisible one, and that's by faith, right? Not by feeling. And notice that gave him the power to keep on keeping on when he could have given up. Next, guys, Hebrews 11:27, amplified. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind, being unawed and undismayed or discouraged by the wrath of the king. For he never flinched. He never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose. What do we do here? Help people find God's purpose for their life. He endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him, God, who is invisible. My picture of God has a lot to do with my persistence. Faith keeps on when you feel like giving up. Next, guys, last one. Faith, ooh, I like this one. Faith doesn't focus on the facts. Well, the fact is, the doctor said there's no hope. If you focus on that fact, we don't deny that fact. The judge said it'll never happen. The counselor said give up. The teacher said over your child, no way. Those are the facts. Faith does not deny the facts, but faith doesn't focus on the facts. When they've told you, you couldn't, it can't, it won't, it's over. No medicine, no help, no counseling, this, that, and the other. It's over. That's the fact. But faith does not focus on the facts. Faith does not deny the facts, but faith does not focus on the facts. Come on, somebody. When they contradict the word of God. When they contradict the word of God, whether a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a principal, a boss, an employer, a friend, a family member, you know, we don't deny what they have said. That's impossible. That you can't get off that. That'll never stop. It'll never turn around. It'll never get better. We don't deny what they've said. But I say, like Michael Jordan, let's take what they've said and use it for fuel to our faith. That they say it can't, comma, but God. Don't put a period at the end of what they've said over your life. Put a comma. Yeah, the counselor said, comma, but. The doctor said, comma, but. The lawyer said, comma, but, my God. The teacher said, comma, but, my God. Come on, somebody. You know, I was, let me give you the scripture on this, and we're going to stop with this. But faith doesn't focus on the facts when the circumstances contradict the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. There are four traits of what faith really looks like. This is the mindset that we're to leave as a legacy to our children and our children's children. And what does it take for our faith to grow? The right example, the right environment. That's why church is important, community is important, and number three, an everyday process. So where can we start? Let's start with our one-year Bible next year, right? Let's start right there and watch what God will do. We'll get stronger as believers, our family will get stronger, and our future will get brighter. Did I help anybody? I sure do love you. I'm done. Give God a praise for the word, would you? Amen. So next weekend is part two of this as we end the year, leaving a legacy of faith. Wow. A Friday night is Christmas Eve. Wow, people are going to come to Christ Friday night. People are going to find Jesus Friday night. People are going to be delivered Friday night. But my uncle, he's always put a comma there. But my husband put a comma there. My wife, but put a comma there. But God. But my finances, put a comma there. But God. Faith doesn't focus on lack, sickness, depression, fear, worry, panic. Faith doesn't focus on the facts. We don't deny the facts, but we focus on what thus saith the Lord says. Amen, everybody. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You've been so sweet today. Hope I've helped you here and online. You'd say, Pastor, I want a relationship with God today. I've lost my hope. I've lost my dreams. And you read to us from the Word that those who build their life on biblical principles, those who know God, find God, live for God, find hope. When you find God, you find hope. Pastor, I need hope again. If that's you and you've never given your life to God, do it right now online. Or maybe you have, but we've been through a difficult time and you need to reset your life for a brand new year, 2022. Pastor, pray for me. Punch the button on your smartphone, your computer. Let us know faith is an act. You need to do something. Action destroys fear, and action brings confidence. So you need to act. Now, here in this room and out in the Rock Express and in the lobby, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, I needed this today. I needed to know that God's for me. God loves me. God has a strategy for me to make my life better, turn things around, to get up and get going again. Pastor, I don't know God. I want to know God today. I want to give my life. I want to surrender it all to Him today. I want to go into the new year a new person with a new beginning and a better life. Or, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, but I've let things slip and I need to reset my life, and I'm ready to do that today. Nobody's going to come to you. I just want you to raise your hand in just a moment, because faith is an act. You see, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me, Pastor, collectively? Nobody's going to come to you, but you need to do something to show God you're not ashamed. All right? So if that's you and you want prayer, lift your hand up in every section. Just wave it at me. Keep it up. Just wave it at me. Your life will change, I promise you. It'll change for the better. Your family, your future. Break those curses off your life in Jesus' name. Just put your hand up high. Wave it. Christians, are you praying? In Jesus' name. Put your hands down. Okay, church, let's help everybody here and out there say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I am a sinner. I've missed the mark. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up. Come on, we celebrate with the angels in heaven.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.